What's up, Rams Nation? Welcome to the first edition of the Rams Wire podcast. I'm your host, Cameron DeSilva. You can follow us on Twitter at Cam DeSilva and at the Rams Wire. We're going to kick things off today by talking about the Jeff Fisher Super Bowl, if you will, in the NFC Championship with Case Keenum versus Nick Foles. The rumors surrounding Matt LaFleur possibly leaving for Tennessee, where he could become the next Titans head coach, and some of the cap casualties and free agent situations that the Rams have to take care of this offseason. So we'll start off with the Case Keenum-Nick Foles bowl, which is strange enough because you have two quarterbacks who didn't really do much with the Rams, and now they're showing that they can actually be decently successful quarterbacks in the NFL with the Vikings and the Eagles. Neither guy is really a particularly great quarterback, obviously, but they did have decent games against the Saints and the Falcons. They got the job done when they needed it most. You saw Case Keenum made plays. He had that ugly interception to Marcus Williams, but that throw to Stephon Diggs at the end of the game was remarkable, and it really showed that he can be a successful quarterback in the NFL, and it's kind of an indictment on Jeff Fisher being unable to have success with either him or Jared Goff. I'm not really sure whether Jeff Fisher should be proud of what he did with those guys and the fact that they're playing in an NFC Championship game, or kind of mildly disgusted that he couldn't do anything with them while they were in St. Louis and Los Angeles. But it's not going to be the most exciting, riveting offensive showdown that we're going to see in the NFC title game, but it's going to be a defensive battle, and it's going to be fun to watch to see which one of these former Rams quarterbacks does make it to the Super Bowl. And it could be Case Keenum hosting it with the Vikings at US Bank Stadium. So that's definitely going to be something to watch this weekend. Crazy enough, those aren't even the only two Rams quarterbacks that are on the rosters for the Vikings and Eagles. You also have Sam Bradford, who the Rams traded away to acquire Nick Foles. So it's kind of coming full circle with them, and you're going to have Jared Goff sitting home watching them, despite being the best of the three, I would say. Then you have Case Keenum, whom the Rams let walk in free agency, which is understandable because they did have Sean Mannion backing up Jared Goff, and they had Goff, who was going to obviously take over as a starter, and it worked out for them because Jared Goff has been tremendous this season, and he looks like he's truly going to be the franchise quarterback for them. So you can't blame them for that. It's just the way that the teams worked out, where the Vikings have a great defense, good receiving core, a decent enough running game, and they're one win away from reaching the Super Bowl. So it's a credit to them for the work that they did around Case Keenum, despite Sam Bradford's injury. So hats off to them, and there's no knock on the Rams for letting Keenum go or not re-signing him this offseason. Enough of that. So we'll talk about things that are actually happening with the Rams right now. Last night, a report surfaced from Gary Klein of the Times saying that Matt LaFleur could leave the Rams. He's their offensive coordinator right now, obviously. He could leave to interview for the Titans, which is going to take place on Thursday. He's a long shot, probably, I would say, to get the job, just because they do have Mike Vrabel interviewing Steve Wilks of the Panthers. He's also up for the job. So as a guy who doesn't have any play-calling experience, he's only been a coordinator for 1 year, and even in the Rams system, he's not the go-to guy when it comes to commanding the offense and leading the guys calling plays and things like that. That falls on Sean McVay. So he's more of a role player, a supporting guy for McVay and that coaching staff. So losing him wouldn't be a huge loss, I don't think, for the Rams. What he does bring to the table is experience working with quarterbacks. He's done so with Kirk Cousins, Robert Griffin III, Matt Ryan. He's worked with all those guys. So he does have a track record of helping develop them into great quarterbacks. And you saw it this season with Jared Goff. Goff played extremely well. He only had 7 picks in 15 games, where last season he had 7 picks in 7 games. So it's really, he's done a good job with him and Greg Olsen, who obviously left for the Raiders. So losing both could hurt, just because it'll give Jared Goff his third offensive coordinator, his third quarterback's coach in as many years, going from Cal to last year with the Rams, and then this past season with Olsen and LaFleur leading the way for him. But you still have Sean McVay calling the plays. You still have Wade Phillips doing the defense and handling that side of the ball. And then John Fossil is doing the special teams unit, and he helps with clock management for McVay. So in all honesty, it's not a huge loss if he does get the Titans job. Good for him. That's a testament to the job that he's done in the past few years with the Falcons and the Rams. But for the Rams, it's more about Jared Goff losing a guy in his corner who he has come to trust, I would assume, with his development. Now you have Zach Taylor, who was brought in. He was promoted from within. He was the wide receivers coach, assistant wide receivers coach for the Rams. He's taking over as the quarterback's coach now. He worked with Tannehill. He did a good job with Tannehill, but other than that, his track record is kind of it's not exactly the strongest resume, but we'll have to wait and see what he does with Goff, just because Greg Olsen did such a good job handling him and developing into the quarterback that he was this past season, which was a really, really strong quarterback. But one thing that I do wonder is how McVay is going to replace LaFleur if he does go to Tennessee and take their head coaching job. He doesn't really have a guy on his staff that would be a surefire candidate to take over as offensive coordinator, so it would make them look elsewhere. Josh McDaniels is gone. Matt Patricia seems like he's going to get hired elsewhere, so you're not going to have that many candidates out there. And Pat Shurmur, obviously, the Vikings, is going to New York. So you're not going to have that many candidates out there to take over for LaFleur, which could be an issue. Or he could go the Kyle Shanahan route and not hire an offensive coordinator at all. Obviously, Shanahan had success with that kind of regime in San Francisco this season, calling their plays and heading their offense. And it really worked in his favor, and it helped to develop Jimmy Garoppolo, who looked great in a 49ers uniform. So you could see Sean McVay lean that way and kind of just call the plays and not have a de facto offensive coordinator, if you will, a guy just to hold the title. So it'll be interesting to see if LaFleur does leave, how McVay handles that with the hiring the next offensive coordinator. So that's something to keep an eye on. The interview's happening on Thursday, so I'm assuming the Titans want to move fairly quickly with hiring a new head coach, just because the Giants found theirs and the Colts found theirs. So the openings are closing up, and teams are kind of finding their guys, so the Titans aren't going to want to wait too long. This could also be a situation where the Titans are kind of looking down the line for maybe an offensive coordinator when they do hire their head coach. If they do bring in a guy like Mike Vrabel, maybe they'll suggest looking at Matt LaFleur for being an offensive coordinator. So it's in the early stages of all of this. He's not a huge top candidate like McDaniels and Matt Patricia and Mike Vrabel were. We'll kind of find out in the next few days where that all stands, because I think the Titans will move fairly quickly with their head coaching search. But on to other things. Let's talk about the Rams cap situation, where they have a whole bunch of free agents ready to hit the market. Six of them are starters. You had Connor Barwin. You had Trumaine Johnson is looking for a new deal. Nickell Robey-Coleman, Marcus Joyner, and obviously the biggest of them all was Sammy Watkins. The Rams would like to retain all the players that they can. This is a situation where it's kind of unfamiliar territory for them, where they're trying to retain their guys. Their free agents are almost better than most of the options out there. So you're going to be looking at them trying to keep the guys that had a huge impact this past season. Sammy Watkins obviously was disappointing. He only had 39 catches and 593 yards or somewhere around there. He did have 8 touchdowns, which is nice. He was a good red zone threat, but you, out of a guy who you're paying like a number one receiver, you want him to be that true number one threat. Sean McVay talked a lot about how he dictates coverages and draws defenders away from guys like Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp, but when you're going to be paying a guy upwards of possibly $15 million, you want him to do more than that. You need 70 catches at least. You need 1,000 yards. Otherwise, he's just another player for you, and he's a guy who's going to make plays at times, but you need a real, true, reliable number one receiver for Jared Goff. And it looks like the Rams have one in Robert Woods, who they're paying just a little bit less than $7 million a year. So he could be getting half of what Sammy Watkins is, despite putting up significantly better numbers in fewer games. So the Rams need to figure out what they're going to do with Watkins in that regard. I think franchise tagging him is the best and one of the only options, honestly. But if they don't slap him with the tag, you could see a situation where either the Rams or another team gives him a one-year deal like the Eagles did with Alshon Jeffrey. I think they gave him $14 million on the open market in free agency last year, and he played well early in the season, and then after a few months, the Eagles extended him for 4 years. So that's a situation where you could see that happen with Sammy Watkins, and them keeping him around for say half a season on a 1 year deal, pay him say $13-14 million, see what he can do in the offense again, because the Rams do have high hopes for him. McVay and Goff both talk about how there's a good connection between them and Jared Goff and Watkins on the outside. We just haven't seen it enough. So the Rams need Watkins to be better for what they're going to be paying him if they do resign him. On the other side, you have Trumaine Johnson, who had a decent season. He was consistently on number one receivers and covering them outside, which allowed Kayvon Webster and Roby Coleman to have easier matchups on the other side of the field and in the slot. So, but he wasn't that shutdown receiver. He didn't have a Trumaine-esque season like he did a few years ago when the Rams first put the franchise tag on him. They did it in 2 years in a row. So you're not going to see that happen again this season. And obviously he wants a long-term extension, which I wouldn't be surprised to see meant a lot of teams offer him on the open market, which is going to happen. Teams overpay for cornerbacks all the time. It's one of the premier positions in the NFL. So you're going to see teams coming after him a lot. And with the inability, not the inability, they can franchise tag him, but it would cost them too much money. And I can't see that really happening and working in their favor. So Trumaine, he said he wants to be back. He seems like he loves LA. He loves the new team. So he's a guy who you would like to see back, because Roby Coleman is also a free agent. And you can't have too much turnover in the defensive secondary. So he's a guy that meshed well with Wade Phillips' scheme. He played relatively well. So he's somebody that the Rams are definitely going to look at and try to bring back. On the same side of the ball, looking at the safety, LaMarcus Joyner had a tremendous season at free safety. He played that position at Florida State. He also played a little bit of nickel in college. So he's familiar with playing free safety, and he even came down in the box and covered slot receivers a little bit. But it's obviously his best position in the NFL. Jeff Fisher didn't really give him a chance to do that. He lined him up at nickel corner, and he played 50 to 75% of the snaps, and which wasn't enough for a player of his caliber. He picked off a bunch of passes this year. Even though he's a smaller, undersized safety, he had a bunch of big hits that separated the ball from the receiver and caused incompletions. I think he finished with the second highest grade or third highest grade of any safety by Pro Football Focus. So he really had a great season, and without him, that defense looks a lot different, because he brings a lot of speed, aggressiveness, and he's a guy who can help John Johnson develop into a really good starter. So those two together, keeping them in the same secondary at safety, is going to be really important for the Rams moving forward. Going back to the offense, John Sullivan is also a free agent. He was the starting center for every game except for the final game, and he did a really good job in his first season after coming over from, he played with the Vikings and the Redskins. So Sean McVay was familiar with him, and he played really well at center. He had a few little nicks and bumps and bruises this season, and Austin Blythe filled in nicely. So that kind of gave the Rams a look at what they had behind Sullivan, because he is a veteran and he is a free agent. So they could potentially let him walk and then give the job to Austin Blythe and see how he does next season. That's a big factor in Todd Gurley and the running game and how that offensive line meshes, because the Rams did have the starters together for all 15 games outside of week 17 when they did rest their starters. So keeping that unit together is going to be really important. They'll obviously try to do everything they can, but given their cap situation, they have to extend Aaron Donald. They have to probably re-sign Sammy Watkins. So they're gonna have to watch their money and watch how they spend it. Otherwise, they could find themselves in a difficult cap situation. So Sullivan's a guy who they could let walk, and rather than paying him another 1 or 2 year deal and just give the job to Blythe and see how he does. So that's something to watch in the next month or so, 2 months, when free agency does open up. And I would think that Sullivan would get a fair amount of offers from other teams, even given his age and his experience. So the Rams could opt for Blythe, and I don't think that would honestly be a bad move. Then you have the guys who are under contract. They're not set to hit free agency, but they might not be back with the team in 2018. The biggest of the three are Robert Quinn, Mark Barron, and Tavon Austin. Just between those three, the Rams could potentially save $21 million. And depending on when they cut them, whether it's before June 1st or after June 1st, it could be anywhere from $22 to $23 million. So that's a significant amount of money that they could save this season and beyond by cutting players who really they had mediocre seasons. Quinn had 8.5 sacks, which is nice, but for a guy who's going to be making north of $12 million, is that something that you want to pay him to have, say, 7, 8, 9 sacks next season? I would assume that the Rams would prefer not to do that. He's a guy who you could see them try to restructure his contract and convert more of that to say to defer it to later years and make him easier to pay in 2018, or you could outright tell him to either take a pay cut or they're going to release him. Because if they do release him, they save $11.4 million, which is a substantial amount of money for them. And the only issue with that is they don't really have anyone to replace him. Connor Barwin is also a free agent, so you're not sure if he's going to be back in 2018. And you don't really have any stud pass rushers waiting in the wings behind him. So that's something that the Rams are going to have to decide whether they want to pay him that amount of money. It's the biggest cap hit of any player on the team. So they could opt to just let him go and find a replacement in the draft or a cheaper option in free agency. Mark Barron, he had a decent season. He was, I would say, the better of the two between him and Alec Ogletree. But even for his salary, I believe he's making $10 million this se next season. They can release him and save $7 million. So between him and Quinn, obviously that would be losing two starting linebackers, which would hurt, but it would save you $18 million, and you can go after guys in free agency and maybe get a guy who fits better. If they don't want to pay anyone else, they can just give the job to Corey Littleton, who played really well in Barron and Ogletree's place this season when they were hurt. He had a really solid game against the Titans. He picked off a pass. He recorded a sack on a blitz, and he looked really good. He had 7 tackles. So he's a player that the Rams could give a larger role next season if Barron doesn't return. Alec Ogletree is going to be here for a while. He just signed that extension, but they do need to improve in that regard because their run defense wasn't good. And when you don't have a solid run defense in a 3-4 defense with guys like Michael Brockers and Aaron Donald, usually it does come down to the linebackers who are either missing gaps or missing tackles. So that's an area where the Rams do have to improve, and cutting Barron is a strong possibility. Lastly, there's Tavon Austin, who is no longer a fan favorite after they gave him that huge contract, and he's done very little to produce and prove that he's worth that kind of money. He's a guy who the Rams are going to be paying $8 million. His cap hit is $8 million next year, which is a huge amount of money for a guy who played somewhere around 200 snaps and only touched the ball a handful of times. He kind of was turned into a glorified change of pace running back behind Todd Gurley. He was a backup to him of sorts when Malcolm Brown was a little banged up. He did have a few nice runs. It looks like his best role in the NFL, honestly, as that kind of backup running back. But for a guy who's going to be making $8 million a year, that's a bit of a steep price to pay someone who's not going to have a huge role. If they do cut him this offseason, they'll save $3 million, which doesn't seem like much, but even in the coming years, it's going to be greater savings, and it's going to allow them to get out of that contract and all the questions about why isn't he playing more or why doesn't he have a bigger role. Quite frankly, he's just not a great player at this point in his career. He's fast. He does look like he could be a dynamic return guy, but he had fumbling issues. He muffed a bunch of punts this season, and it kind of gave way to Ferrell Cooper as the main return man, which obviously worked great in the Rams' favor. So that's another decision the Rams are going to have to make. It shouldn't be really that difficult of one. Sean McVay has said that he wants to get Tavon Austin the ball. The guy played 2 snaps in the postseason game, so that kind of shows how much trust McVay doesn't have in Tavon Austin in big spots like that. So I fully expect them to release him. I wouldn't be surprised to see Quinn gone too. Barron is a guy who might get another year out of this. He could stay around for one more season, but it wouldn't be surprised to see all three guys gone. So that's just kind of where the Rams stand right now. They do have a decent amount of cap space. I think over the cap says it's about $45 million. Add to that another $21 million for releasing those guys, and the Rams are in good shape. But that's obviously going to take a huge hit when Aaron Donald gets his big contract and he gets re-signed to probably the largest contract of any defensive player in NFL history. So the Rams have to be cognizant of that money and where they can cut corners and save cash for guys like Sammy Watkins and Aaron Donald. Going with that, you look at their draft needs and their needs in free agency, and I think it's pretty obvious what their three are. They have edge rusher, cornerback, and an interior offensive line. Jamon Brown wasn't great at right guard. He wasn't bad, but he was definitely the weakest link on that unit. He's a guy who's still relatively young, and he could improve and get better. He's a punishing run defender, and he had a stretch of games where he didn't allow a sack, so he did show potential. But between him and John Sullivan, the Rams could use an upgrade at either of those spots, especially with Sullivan being a free agent. So you're going to look in the draft. You could get a guy in the third, fourth round where you could potentially find a starter at right guard or at center in that position, and look at the defense in the first round. And in the second round, the Rams don't have a pick, so they have to really make a difficult decision which way they're going to go in the first round. That brings me to edge rusher, which is definitely their largest need. Robert Quinn could be gone. Connor Barwin could be gone. Matt Longacre is a restricted free agent, so he should be back, but he's not really a top-tier starting caliber guy at outside linebacker. So you could see two new starters at that position. Fortunately, there are a good amount of pass rushers in this draft. So you could see a guy when the Rams do go on the clock at 23, you could see a potential starter at that juncture in that point in the draft. We'll actually get a look at a couple of those guys that the Rams could go after in the draft, kind of in the mid rounds this weekend at the East-West Shrine Game. You got Chad Thomas out of Miami, who is a bigger prospect. He has good size for outside linebacker. He put his hand in the dirt at times at Miami, and he also stood up and rushed the passer as an outside guy. So at 6'5", 275 pounds, he's a bigger guy. But you could also play him inside and rotate him with Brockers and Donald at defensive end. And then James Hearns is another guy that you should be watching. He's out of Louisville. He's a bit smaller at 6'2", but he did have more success as a pass rusher than Thomas did. He had 15 sacks the past 2 years, so the production's there. But the Rams, those aren't guys that they're going to take in the first round. Those are mid-round guys, third, fourth round. So the Rams are going to have to look for a premier pass rusher at 23, which doesn't often happen. So usually those guys go in the top 10, top 15, so it's going to be difficult to find. And then their last need is cornerback. That really just hinges on whether Trumaine Johnson comes back, whether Nickell Robey-Coleman is back. So if those two guys leave, obviously the Rams are going to have a huge hole at cornerback. You're not going to be able to fill that in free agency and get two starting caliber guys. So you could see them look at cornerback in the first round. Josh Jackson is a guy out of Iowa who looks like a top-tier cornerback. You have Denzel Ward out of Ohio State, who's a physical guy despite not being that big. You could see either of those guys fall to 23. So right then, you get one of those guys and you have a starter opposite Kayvon Webster outside, and hopefully Robey-Coleman stays around and mans the slot for another season. But those are just kind of the early needs that the Rams do have. Obviously, those will change with free agency and with their re-signings and the guys that are potentially leaving. So those could change in the next month, 2 months, 3 months. So we'll kind of see which direction the Rams do go with that. But it should be a fun draft season because the Rams do have such a strong team right now, and they don't really have that many big holes. The offensive line is strong, even if John Sullivan leaves. The receiving corps is good with Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp, and even if Sammy Watkins does walk in free agency, you could see a guy like Josh Reynolds step up and take on that new starting role. He has good size, good speed, and the Rams really do like him, even though he wasn't that productive as a rookie. I don't really expect the Rams to make many changes at wide receiver or on offense at all, really, just because of the way that they performed this season, ranking first in the NFL in scoring. So don't expect much turnover there, even if Watkins does leave. They do have a good core of players. So it's not going to be a huge need on that side of the ball through free agency and through the draft. And then the last thing I'm going to talk about today is a post that ESPN came out with today, ranking the five best and the worst free agent signings. And not surprisingly, the Rams had two of them. So of the five, Robert Woods and Andrew Whitworth were two of the best signings from the offseason. Obviously, they had a huge impact on what the Rams did this season. Whitworth was a stud at left tackle. He did a great job blocking for Jared Goff. I think he only allowed a few sacks on the year, hardly ever allowed any pressure off the backside. And he opened up running lanes for Todd Gurley. And even at 35, 36 years old, he's running downfield and getting ahead of Gurley and being a lead blocker for him. So he really was obviously the best addition that the Rams made this offseason, even though Woods was spectacular. I'll admit that I wasn't really high on him out of Buffalo when the Rams gave him $34 million, but he proved me wrong and he proved a lot of people wrong, I think. He was more of a blocker with the Bills and a number two receiver to Watkins, who was a better player at the time. But it looks like Woods has surpassed him in that regard, and he's a great blocker. He's a great teammate, and you see that he's always laying it out all on the field. So he's going to give 100% effort, and whether it's blocking for Gurley or making contested catches over the middle. So the Rams really do a good job bringing him in and making him kind of their number one receiver, just because Jared Goff did trust him so much on offense, and whether it was taking shots downfield or making difficult sideline catches, he did everything that he was asked for, and he did it really well. So that's no surprise that the Rams did have two of the best free agent signings in the NFL, and it's kind of a testament to how well they did do this offseason, whether it was Les Snead or Jared Goff and or sorry, not Jared Goff, Sean McVay. The combination of them bringing in the right kind of guys to help the offense succeed, and even on defense with Kayvon Webster and Roby Coleman. So all of those signings really worked out well in their favor. The other three on the list were Case Keenum, which a former Rams player, for $2 million, the Vikings got a steal because they're one win away from the Super Bowl. And then Calais Campbell, who got $60 million from the Jaguars and was worth every penny. He's a guy who's going to contend with Aaron Donald for Defensive Player of the Year. He finished second in the league with 14.5 sacks, which was more than Donald, but given his position, that's not really surprising, and the fact that he played two more games. And then Jeffrey was the last one. The Eagles gave him $9.5 million for 1 year, which was kind of what I was alluding to earlier with Sammy Watkins. You could see a similar situation with him, and then gave him the 4-year extension. So that's all I got for today. Thank you for listening to the first edition of the Rams Wire podcast. Again, you can follow me on Twitter at Cam DeSilva and follow the Rams Wire on Twitter at the Rams Wire. And obviously, you can always find us online at theramswire.com. We'll keep you up to date throughout the offseason and into next season. So thanks for listening. Have a great week, guys.